through every age prevails. Glory. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Yeah, we can stand. You can stand if you'd like. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this morning, the time we can spend together. Thank you for the encouragement in your word. Thank you, Lord, that we not only speak of these things, the word of truth, the power of the gospel, but we experience them in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power to transform our lives, to give us new reason to live for and hope that endureth forever. An eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word this morning. As we look into it again this morning, we ask that you encourage our hearts together. I have nothing new to share, so to speak, Father, but it's the old gospel. And we just ask that it would be accompanied with its power, with your power, Father, and that our hope and our expectation is in you, not in our own abilities or wisdom, or anything that we have, but our hope is in you, Father. We are hoping in your mercy this morning. We're trusting in you, thanking you, Lord, for your faithfulness to provide all of our needs in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies this morning. We think of these men in Bullock County in Alabama, and we lift them up to you, praying that you'll watch over the work that has begun there. Even those smoking flax, Father, that is there, and the bruised reeds that have just begun to trust in you. We ask that you will, in your goodness and mercy, will bless the work there and bless those who love you there. Encourage and strengthen them and have your way. May it spread and go forward in power in that place. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your many blessings upon our lives. We ask, we just need you. I need you, Lord. I feel overwhelmed this morning and have no ability of my own to perform the task before me of edifying your people. And I'm looking to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What a blessing to be here. Thank you for your singing this morning. It's encouraging to me. It's a blessing to me as well. Let's turn to Psalm 23. I have been looking forward to this. Wasn't even sure what the Lord would lay on my heart. I really enjoyed our time on Wednesday evening looking at the doctrine of grace. I was so encouraged with just God's word again. You know, like we're going to be looking at that some more, that concept. But if we are straightened in our life, or we are falling short, or if we are finding ourselves in need, the need is not in Him, or the reason is not in Christ, but it's found somewhere else. Let's read Psalm 23. We'll read the whole psalm here. We're just ready to finish in verse 5, but let's go ahead and read the whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. As we look at this part here, at the end of verse 5, we're going to consider this little phrase, my cup runneth over. And I couldn't help but thinking of David's life in the light of this phrase, of a cup that's running over. Hallelujah. But when we look at his life, I had to consider, when did his cup run over? I don't know exactly when he wrote this. I would be very curious to know. But it is obvious, even as a shepherd boy, I believe there was probably an innocency in his childhood and a blessing there, but even that was, he was sent out to take care of the sheep. And so I've thought of that some in preparing for this, and I don't know when he could say his cup ran over, but I don't believe he was saying it dependent upon his temporal blessings. If you look at his life, first Saul, after he killed Goliath, there was not much, even after he became this king's son-in-law, there wasn't much time for glory in his life. He became chased and hunted like he said a partridge in the mountains, with Saul chasing him, desiring for his to take his life. And there was some times, different times, I'm sure, after he became the king. But it was also accompanied with many challenges and trials. The Saul's descendants were constantly, were trying different times to overthrow him. And then eventually, after his sin with Bathsheba, even Absalom rebelled against him. And from there, in his old age, we see that it was accompanied with many trials, his life was, to where even on his, basically on his deathbed, his sons were fighting over who would be the next king. So how could he say this in the midst of the old covenant? How could he say this, "My cup runneth over"? Was it not because his hope was in God, his mercy? He was trusting in God's goodness to him and rejoicing in his spiritual blessings. We're going to look at a couple aspects of this. I want to look at a cup running over with our temporal blessings, spiritual blessings, and eternal blessings briefly this morning. Just consider each one. But before we do, just have some thoughts here to go through. You know, the Lord is not slack as some men count slackness. The Lord is not stingy with His blessings. He's not like we are, not like man is. We tithe mint and rue like the Pharisees, and we make sure maybe we give our 10%, so to speak. I'm using it as a type. But we are just as careful to not give any more. We'll do what is required many times, and I'm not just speaking about with money, but also with our lives and service to the Lord, with His calling on our lives. We'll do what is required to still be a Christian and be in good standing with the church. But we won't give more. We won't do more. I have to think of the question that Jesus asked His disciples. I'm trying to think of the context, but it ended up something like this. He says, "What do you more than others? What do ye more than others?" We'll give what we can without being considered tight, but we still are not like the Lord. He gives His blessings freely, without stipulation, without grudge, without regret. Few of us tend to have the testimony that Jesus gave to the woman who anointed His feet. "She hath done what she could." That was the type of a woman who, because of her love for Jesus, gave everything. She surrendered her life in the act of worship, surrendered her living, I believe, to Him. But we have a picture of God, our God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. He giveth liberally. He is a cheerful giver. 1 Corinthians 4:7 tells us, "What hast thou that thou hast not received? And what good thing has He kept from thee?" I would ask you this morning, tell me one good thing God has kept from you. Even if there's something you think He has, it was kept from you because for your own well-being. That's why He kept it. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" Too many times we bring only to God that which costs us nothing. We bring our access. But oh, that our hearts would be like David's when he told Araunah he wanted to buy his threshing floor. And he said, and Araunah wanted to give it to him, and plus the oxen besides. David said, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. God is a cheerful giver. We see in Luke 15 as the father of the prodigal son, picturing God, that he not only brought a calf, he gave the fatted calf. He not only gave a robe, he gave the best robe. He not only made him a servant, but he took him as a son. When I think of God and his giving in our lives and his blessing upon us, it overwhelms me. But how few of us live in true thankfulness to his blessings. You know, mostly the things we remember and talk about from our past in our life is challenges. I don't know if you've pondered to consider that, but even history shows us this. Most often, when you're looking through the history of a country or a nation, the things that are highlighted or where there's a mark put in history was a war, famine, earthquake. Those have the biggest marks. Most of the good times are not as clearly remembered as the bad times. Think of that in your own life. We tend to remember our challenges or our trials or our problems more than our blessings. The fault of being too happy and too thankful, if it does exist anywhere, is pretty scarce today. The weather is normally too hot or too cold, or there's too much rain, or there's not enough. There's constantly something. Oh, that our hearts were set free from discontentedness, and we would give him thanks in all things and rejoice evermore. And that our joy and satisfaction were not restricted to those things that we have or don't have, or by the challenges or trials we face, but that we would be content with such things as we have. You may be saying, what does this have to do with an overflowing cup? It has a lot to do. A spirit of discontented is like a cup with no bottom. It will never run over. There's never enough. Whether things in this life or spiritual things or things to come, the spirit of discontentedness will take away any blessing in your life and you won't recognize them. For the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, first of all, this morning, we're going to consider temporal blessings. Even in this, we have nothing that we have not received. God gives us food and raiment, and how much more besides? He causes the sun to shine and the rain to fall. Temporal blessings that affect us in temporal matters. If your cup is not running over with thankfulness, you should consider how blessed you are. If we have good health, if we have a family, if we have the many things, there are just too many to mention. This overwhelms me to cover even our temporal blessings. I can spend all morning and I can't even get close to covering your temporal blessings that God has, the things that God has given to you and allowed you to experience because of His goodness. God is just good. He is so good, and He is a Father of mercy, and He withholds no good thing from us for His glory. Let us beware of the curse of covetousness and unthankfulness that we see all around us. For happiness is not found in the things that we possess. True happiness is never found in the things that you possess. You know, it's a little bit like the fly and the honey. As the picture is given, a fly can maybe land on the honey and take a little bit of honey and leave and go on. But most of the times the problem is the fly wants more honey and more honey. And the longer he sits on the honey, the more entwined his feet become. And the honey eventually ensnares him and he dies in the honey. That's how our lives can be. That's how covetousness works. That's how unthankfulness works or discontentedness works. We think if I only had another or that thing or that thing, I would be happy. It's not true. If you can't be happy without that thing, then you don't know happiness. But the deeper you go, those things eventually will just ensnare us and take us down. May we recognize that our cup runs over in temporal things, and may we give Him thanks. Our temporal cup, may we recognize that. May we give Him thanks. Your cup runs over. I take this as from David. It's a statement. It's a thankfulness. It's a reality of what God has done in his life. And he's thanking God for it. He's a testimony. First of all, in verse 1 of Psalm 23, he says, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And now he says, "My cup is running over." Not just without want. He is supplied with abundance. I do want to say a word here. Let us be aware of these temporal blessings, and let's not let them steal our affection from the Lord. It's a little bit like one man who went to a jewelry store, and he was shown a mass of gold. He took it in his hand, and he said, "How much better to hold in my hand than to have in my heart." That's how our life is with our temporal blessings. Let us be faithful to give thanks for these blessings of God. For may our joy be in the, not be in these things, but in the giver of all good things. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. And I have to think of an account here. There's a story given. The burglar was fleeing from the police, and his pockets were full of silver. And as he was fleeing, he jumped in the canal. And because all the silver in his pockets, he was drowned. And that's how the picture kind of I think of when I see here in 1 Timothy 6, 9. "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." And I'm just saying this because it is important that we are thankful for our temporal blessings, and yet it is more important that we recognize where they proceed from and that we give God thanks and thank Him for them, and not allowing these temporal blessings to ensnare our hearts and draw us away from the Lord. There are cups that are handed to us. Let us pray over them. The cup of maybe a business plan, maybe a friendship, or just plans in life, the cups that are handed to us. Instead of just drinking from them, let's pray over those cups and ask God to lead us. Because some of those cups can be good things that will only distract us from the best that God has for us. I have to think of another story where there was a king. He was given a cup of poison. His servants were trying to poison him. But before he took it, he prayed over it. And the cup shivered. So it will be as we pray over those cups. God will show us what is best, lest our heart be distracted from Him by all the good things in our life. But nevertheless, our temporal cups run over. And what a blessing. Let's give Him thanks first of all, but let's not allow those blessings to distract our hearts from Him or grow cold in worship of Him. Let us not give up the best for that which is good. Maybe you don't feel like your temporal cup is running over with temporal blessings. Let me assure you, it is. The problem is, you can't say with Apostle Paul that I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. That's the problem. We can learn a lesson from the poor man who, as he ate his bread and drank his water, he said, "What? All this in Jesus Christ too?" Hallelujah. He gave thanks for what he had. Secondly, let's consider this morning our spiritual blessings. This morning that God has poured into our lives, that He has been good to us, a giver of every good thing. Spiritual blessings. When I come to this consideration, for sure, my text overwhelms me. My cup runneth over. True, if I had the tongue of men and of angels and of seraphims, I could not tell you the fullness of your spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. The question I have for you this morning, is your cup running over, even temporarily? Is your cup about running over, blessing other people? Are you thankful? Are you recognizing that truth? And then spiritually, where do you find your cup this morning with spiritual blessings? Do we find it with many things that are, is it full of cares, full of challenges, trials, is just full of everything, maybe even self, we could say? Or is our cup full of spiritual blessings? Are we not the sons of God and fellow heirs with Christ? What good thing has He kept from us? What hinders us from entering into experiencing and enjoying the fullness of His blessings in our life? Spiritual blessings. Is He not able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think? And again I say, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Spiritual blessings. A running over, a cup running over. If you are straitened or lacking in your spiritual blessings, the fault lies not with Him, but you. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Just back here a little bit. Psalm 16, verse 5. If you are struggling, if you don't find an overrunning cup with spiritual blessings in your life, the fault lies not with Him, but you. Psalm 16:5. This is our spiritual blessing. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Hallelujah. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Can you say that this morning? If you can say the Lord is the portion of your inheritance, how blessed are ye? David knew this, therefore he could say, my cup runs over. Regardless of the circumstances around him, he could say, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, my cup runs over. Now, if the Lord is our inheritance, there's no wonder that our cup should run over. Here we stand with a little cup, our little lives, our few fleeting moments upon this earth. Here we stand, and God is desiring to fill us. He's desiring to live in us. The God of eternity, in all His attributes and all His splendors, desiring to make His abode in the hearts of men. Is it no wonder but that our cup should run over? I think of this little cup, and I think of a reservoir, or even the ocean, trying to fit in this little cup. Is it a wonder but that it should run over? If that is really the case, your cup will run over. Sometimes I wonder, I get the picture, maybe we have a cup on our cup, or just a little hole in it, or maybe our cup is full of self, these rocks that are stony. Oh, that God would enlarge our hearts, that we should contain Him more. Sometimes we try to fill our own cup. This is plain. This is something I struggle with in my life. This is real to me. Sometimes we are filling our cup with things we do. Maybe it's even good things. Maybe it's right thinking and doctrine, theology. Maybe it's reading, praying, and right living. Those things are good. Don't get me wrong. But let them come from an overflowing cup, a heart that is flowing over with God's presence. Let them not be the source of our flow. Let them not be what fills our heart, our cup. Let them be the result of God filling our lives. He will only possess that which is consecrated to Him. He will only fill that which is given to Him. He will only fill that which is empty. Empty of self. We can do some of those things and still be self-centered. I had to think of this some in the light of this context, and thinking of God as a giver, thinking of Christ and the spiritual blessings we have in Him, and thinking of myself even as a giver in my own, even to my boys, to my wife. The greatest offense to the giver is to have his gifts neglected or refused. That is the greatest offense to the giver. Do you say, why will those men, why will God deal harshly with men who reject his salvation? They rejected God and all he wanted to give them. You think of how great damnation is for the unrighteous, and then you think of how great the blessings are for the just and what they refused. They offended the giver. They spurned his gifts as nothing and turned again to the beggarly elements of this world. Psalm 116, verse 13 tells us that it gives us a picture. We're going to focus on this a little bit when we think of our spiritual blessings. A cup running over. Hallelujah. Psalm 116, verse 13. The psalmist writes here, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But remember, it was not always so. Let's turn to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. It was not always so, even for us. Not always did we have and experience these spiritual blessings. He's writing to Jerusalem here. In verse 16, he says, I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Hallelujah. But as we go on through that chapter, we see that there's judgment given. In verse 17, awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Because they rejected his salvation, he gave them his cup of fury. Verse 22 says, thus saith the Lord in thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. That's how it was for us. There was a day, in verse 17, where we drank of the cup of his fury. And his cup was stacked against us. When we consider this, and these thoughts this morning, at one time, the wrath of God stood against us. We had sinned against him, and we were in line to receive his just punishment, his fury, as it says there. The cup of his fury was to be poured out upon us. Can we not, in the context or in the thought of these words, don't we hear the words of Jesus in Gethsemane? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You hear the words of Jesus when you think of a cup full of spiritual blessings. And remember that it was not always so. There was a time when we drank of the cup of God's fury. His fury was against us. There was a cup there that had to be drank. A cup filled with our sin, our blasphemies, and our unrighteousness before God. There was a cup that had to be drank. That, first of all, was for you. It was the cup that was filled with the wrath of God to be poured out upon your life, in my life. And again, he came and said, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And we know he drank the cup of our infirmities. So, your cup that now runs over with spiritual blessings once ran over with the fury of God. For you are under the curse of God. Where now our cup is filled with Christ, it was once filled with sin and all its powers and blackness. where now you have peace which passeth understanding. And even in that phrase, I like it. God is not stingy in His giving. It's not just peace. It's peace which passeth understanding. But now where we have peace that passeth understanding, we were once under the thundering condemnation of the law that said, you are guilty and you deserve to die. Where now you have life, there once abode death. And where we now have joy unspeakable, there once dwelt bitterness and cursing. Truly, to us who are His children, joint heirs with Christ, the paths of the Lord drop with fatness. And what have we that we have not received? Grace for grace. Of His fullness have all we received. Can we not say our cup is running over? Is our cup running over? It's a challenge to me this morning to live constantly in reality of this. It's exciting to me, even in the light of the grace of God that we considered on Wednesday night. We just discussed how it's like the blessings of God, Jehovah, our God, or even the grace of God is like a stream. And we're in the stream. And maybe it's a trickle that we're standing in. But up the stream is a reservoir that is unquenchable. And whether or not the stream that we're standing in, if we're just barely water, maybe it's even dry. Or whether it's up to our knees, our loins, whether we're swimming, it all depends upon the flow from the reservoir. It depends upon the condition of our heart toward Him. The reason our cup will run over is because we let Him be the Lord of our life. Because we surrender completely to Him. It's not, we simply allow Him to display in our hearts or to be there in all His majesty and glory. It's not that we do something, that we try harder. It's that we surrender. We open the door upon whom He is knocking and say, come in, and He will sup with us and we with Him. Can we say with David this morning, I pray we can, my cup runs over. Runs over to what? To those around me? Hallelujah. To those we meet? There is more in Him than we can need or ever exhaust. And if we are straight, we are straightened, like Paul wrote, in our own bowels. For in Him we have all sufficiency for all things. What lackest thou yet, when we think of our blessed Redeemer, our King Emmanuel, when we think of Him in our soul, the taking the kingship of our town, of man's soul, what lack we yet if we simply let Him rule and reign in our hearts? Let's let Him come into our hearts this morning in all of His offices, in fullness, and truly our testimony will be, my cup runs over. We cannot contain the Lord in His fullness. Let's pause in closing here. Let's consider the eternal blessings briefly. John 3:15 tells us. John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not only do we have the temporal blessings and the spiritual blessings, but we have eternal blessings that He gives us this morning. Our cup is running over. Not only do we have life, we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our cup runs over with eternal blessings. Blessings that will stand before eternity. Again, I think of the verse that says, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John 10:28. Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Eternal life. Think of a verse in Hebrews. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. The blood that satisfied the Father satisfies us. He will be our inheritance for all eternity. It's not heaven. Heaven is where we'll be. But Christ is our inheritance for all eternity. Our cup will run over for all eternity as Christ is revealed to us through the ages. We'll never cease to have an overflowing cup, even in His presence. Hallelujah. His blessings upon our lives are temporal, spiritual, and eternal. Let's give Him thanks this morning. Praise His worthy name. Let's allow those blessings, the grace of God, let's allow them to flow in and through our lives. Let's not constrain them. Let's not put the lid on. When I think of them overflowing, I don't get the picture of a drop here and a drop there. I get the picture of, like I said, trying to put an ocean in this little cup. It just flows. Hallelujah. Let's let it flow. May many be encouraged by that flow. Many souls be drawn to their Master and see Jesus Christ by the flow in our lives. May it be so. Just a few thoughts this morning. May, as you read that from now on in Psalm 23, may you think of that. May that be the testimony over your life. My cup runneth over. John 17:3 tells us, Jesus said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That is eternal life. Eternal blessings. Thank you for your time this morning. This has been an encouragement to me to just turn my heart to the Lord. And just to again remind, just to realize how far below the means of God I live. Let us not refuse, neglect, or turn away the gifts of God in our lives. The desire for Him to be all that He wants to be. In the context of eternal blessings, I think of what I shared earlier. Think of this poem and the sands of time. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's Lamb. May it be so here. May it be so in this church. May the Lamb be all the glory. The Lamb of God. May it not be any of us. May it not be what we do, but may the Lamb be all the glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word this morning. Thank You for the challenge of Your word in my heart, Father. Thank You for the call that we have upon our lives to live an abundant, to live in the abundance of Your grace, or in the great grace, as we considered on Wednesday night, that others would be affected. Lord, I pray this morning for the grace to reach out, to receive You in our hearts. To know Your presence there, Lord, and to just let You be God in our lives and all that You want to do there for Your glory. Thank You for my brothers and sisters. Thank You for the work that You have done in our lives together. Cleanse our hearts, our cups this morning, Father, and may You fill them with Yourself. May that be the pursuit that encourages us. May that be what excites us. May that be what compels us forward, is to know God and to walk with You, and that You would be the source that is flowing over in our lives to those around us. May they not see our righteousness, Father. May they not see our deeds that we have done, but may they only see Christ. And may You draw them to Yourself, Lord Jesus. We love You and bless You. We pray Your blessing upon the remainder of today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.